हरिः ॐ सहनाववतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मविद्विषावहैः ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Bhagavat Sandarbha, Adhyayana 3, Adhikarna 2, Bhagavan's medium-sized form is omnipotent and all-pervasive. Okay, continuing with Anucheda 43, page 34. He himself, Eva, not his expansion, was in all the houses. He was one form, not many forms, to the expansion of one body. Shruti says, Ekam shantam bahudha, drishyamanam, one form appears as many. Na chantar na bahir yasya, he has no interior or exterior. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.9.13. Krishna can do this since he has the power to pervade everywhere. Nard saw this clearly. Ha! Narda did not just infer this, but experienced it directly by power given by Krishna. So it's not that he's there and then he's expanding. It means he is everywhere. So he wants to manifest like that. He's manifesting everywhere, but it's still one form. It's still him. Right? So that's the inconceivableness of the Lord. So this omnipotency and omnipresence like that means if he's present everywhere, it means why wouldn't he be? He's already present in these houses. He just shows his presence there. Otherwise, he remains hidden.
Can we say that the Lord is present everywhere except the jiva is different from the Lord? Or is it?
But the jiva is also one of the Lord's energies.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So it's still him.
Yes, good listening.
Yeah. No space that huh? Thought we were going to get it there, you know? Okay. Anucheda 44. Therefore it is said, having repeatedly seen the vast mystic display of Krishna, whose power is unlimited, the sage was amazed and filled with wonder. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.69.42. Yogamaya mentioned in the verse is the Chit-Shakti, which can do the impossible. Commenting on Srimad Bhagavatam 3.16.37, Sridhar Swami says, Yogamaya used in relation to the Lord means his Chit-Shakti. Seeing this Shakti constantly, the sage, amazed, became wonderstruck. A yogi can expand his body into many, but without doing this, Krishna in the medium-sized human form was everywhere. That was the cause of this. Narada being wonderstruck. That was the cause of his Narada being struck. Wonderstruck. His form can also be explained in terms of sarvata pani param. He has his hands and feet everywhere. Bhagavad Gita 13.4. Philosophers also point out the following. Nastanatopi parasyo bhaya lingam sarvatrahi. They are not different forms, though they are in different places, because the Lord can be everywhere by his inconceivable power. Brahma Sutra 3.2.11. There are not separate forms of the Lord, parasya, in different places, stana, because he has his forms everywhere in all beings, sarvatra. So you can't say that it's not just one, because he himself is pervading everywhere. So then, wherever he wants to manifest, then that's what it means. Manifest means for us. He's already there. It's just a matter of being revealed that we can see. And so then he does like this, and then see the thing is even though he is manifesting through his energies, you can still tell the difference between him and his energies. Right? Because the energy is just the energy. He's the one with the energy. So even though it's through the energies, you can still identify him. Yeah?
Shri Prabhupada says that Prahlad Maharaj saw Nrsimha Rai in the pillar, so he manifested from the pillar.
Okay. Yes, yes. Because he asked, is he in the pillar? And so he could see the Lord is in the pillar. Not that he just happened to be sitting there, he wasn't in the pillar next to him. So he goes, oh, so he's in this pillar. Well, not that pillar, the next one. You know. It's just that he sees this potency of the pillar, and the pillarness is Krishna. And so he'll remember the person, so therefore he you know, then he's manifesting in that way.
Can we say that energy is the channels through which Krishna manifests? Can we put it this way?
Channeling Krishna. So the chit potency is channeling Krishna.
Is that contemporary version? Because he's independent.
Yes. Means it's channeling, but the point is it's still what's channeling is non different from him.
Yes. I'm just saying if it's possible to use
that. But it has to be very clear that the potency is still Krishna's, it's non different. See, is that there's going to be the impossible element. We want to always make it logical for ourselves. But the point is the logic won't understand it. It's the faith. See, if you don't have faith, but you have logic, it won't be understood. You have faith, then it makes sense logically. So as long as that's there, otherwise we have to be careful is that the example should match, but it's not that the example is necessary 100%. Correct, as long as that's there, you know, and then the difficulties that come up, you know, because then it's, oh, so if you're channeling, so then anybody can channel the Lord, and you know, because they take it as the channeling is a thing that they can do. I can channel because I want. While here it's not, it's because Krishna's doing these manifestations and all that through his energies by the chit potency, that's why it's happening.
So we can paraphrase it and say that he usually does it like this, but he is not limited by that type of channeling.
Well, it's not that he usually does like this. It's that he manifests through his energy. So it's not that the energy is there and then he's manifest. It's that he exists and we're able to perceive because of his energy. So it's we're able to perceive him through his energy. But it's not that the energy is specifically, you could say, channeling. You know what I'm saying? Because the problem is the channeling will give all kinds of other impressions. And because of that, then there may be a misunderstanding. Because then in channeling, it's kind of like, because the aspect of channeling, you have that, because let's say you have a person. And then they are interested or willing to have that connection with a particular individual, right? And so then in this way they make their endeavor and then they channel that person, right? Now in that context, there's not necessarily an idea whether that person wants to be channeled or not. But it's just because I want to do it, it can happen, right? Now, if we put it the other way, that the particular individual that we, you know, in the first case that would be channeled, now, it's not that the person who's channeling them wants to channel them, they're just coming in, then they have other terms. They don't call it channeling, right? You know, it's called a walk-in, it's, you know, it's got some other terms. You know, I think, what is it? Yeah, I'm not sure. But the whole point is they're all considered negative terms. So the point is it's his independent will that it's happening. Well, the channeling is our independent will. So it's like you know, then it'd be Yogamaya wants Krishna to be here, and then he's got to be here. So channeling wouldn't, that's what I'm saying, it's not the proper term. It's something that people will catch their mind, but the problem is it will carry a lot of improper impressions with it. And then they might try to, yeah, that's all.
This is not anukul, it's practical, it's kind of not so favorable.
Yes, because it's coming from us, rather than, it means, in other words, the energies are serving Krishna, rather than here is that the other is it's the other way around. Is that, yeah. So I would tend not to use it.
Krishna tells in 4th chapter, Bhutanam Ishwaroham, means I am the Ishwara of all the Jiva, and I manifest through my own will, through the internal potency.
Yes. So it's just as matters according to his own will, but as he doesn't have an inside or an outside, it means it's like we'll take it that he's expanding because it's outside of himself, but he doesn't have an outside, right? Because being everything, unlimited, then even he's manifesting in all these things, they would be considered inside him, you know, by, if we're looking at time and space. So how is that an expansion? Right? But at the same time is there is no inside because it's just him. Right? So that's the whole thing, that's why it's saying can do the impossible. Because it's that Krishna's in a category that's beyond our understanding. We're energy. So we understand things in the context of energy. But Krishna's the energetic, so he's beyond that. Like there's one purport where Prabhupada's talking about Krishna's beyond spiritual. Because he's the source of spiritual. Right? So that means he's something else. Spiritual we can relate to because it's an energy. But he's beyond that. He's the source of spiritual. So that's the difficulty is that the logic works up to a particular kind of point as Krishna reveals himself. But the point is it's beyond logic. Right? Even if he reveals himself through logic, it's still, he's beyond logic to be doing that. Does that make sense? Evam eva brahma it yachakshate. Thus they say that he is Brahman, expanding everywhere. Footnote 3. Sa brahma tad it yakshate. Brihad Aranyaka Upanishad 3.9.9. Eka eva paro vishnu sarvatrapi na shamshaya. Aishwaryad rupam ekam cha suryavad bahude yate. The one supreme Vishnu is everywhere without doubt. By his power, the one form becomes many like the sun. Matsya Purana. Right? That he is everywhere. It's just like, you know, the example of the pots. You have so many pots. And the sun, you see, is in all these pots. But it's still one sun. Or he's expanded throughout the universe, the sun, through his sun rays and all that. But it's still just one sun. So we're seeing the sun here. Someone else is seeing the sun. So everyone thinks it's a different sun. But it's one sun. Right? So, free of the illusion of difference in the Lord's various forms, I have attained the Lord, who is one, though appearing to be many, like the sun seen by many people, who is the charioteer, but who is also in my heart, the unborn, and situated in the hearts of all the jivas, who create their own bodies. Srimad Bhagavatam 1.9.42. Right, you create your own means the ingredients are provided, the potency for that's provided, but you create your own. It's like having a salad bar, right? You have 20 different items, you create your own salad. Yeah, so that's the meaning of here, create your own bodies. It's due to your desire. na bedad iti chen na pratyekam atad vachanad. If you say the explanation is not logical because the forms are actually different, it is not so, because Shruti states that all the forms are not different from the Lord, Brahma Sutra 3.2.12. Right, so it's a standard points. Api chaivam ak. Moreover, one group of Vedic scholars teaches this, Brahma Sutra 3.2.13. Sukadev spoke thus. Moreover, one group of Vedic scholars. yes. Anucheta 45. Free of the illusion of difference in the Lord's various forms, I have attained the Lord who is one. Though appearing to be many, like the sun seen by many people, who is the charioteer, but who is also in my heart, the unborn, and situated in the hearts of all the jivas who create their own bodies. Srimad Bhagavatam 1942. Uddhiriti, Srila Prabhupada. Lord Sri Krishna is the one absolute personality of Godhead, but he has expanded himself into his multiplanary portions by his inconceivable energy. The conception of duality is due to ignorance of his inconceivable potency. In the Bhagavad Gita 9.11, the Lord says that only the foolish take him to be a mere human being. Such foolish men are not aware of his inconceivable energies. By his inconceivable energy, he is present in everyone's heart, as the sun is present before everyone all over the world. The Paramatma feature of the Lord is an expansion of his plenary portions. He expands himself as Paramatma in everyone's heart by his inconceivable energy. And he also expands himself as the glowing effulgence of the Brahma Jyoti by expansion of his personal glow. It is stated in the Brahma Samhita that the Brahma Jyoti is his personal glow. Therefore, there is no difference between him and his personal glow, Brahma Jyoti, or his plenary portions as Paramatma. Less intelligent persons who are not aware of this fact consider Brahma Jyoti and Paramatma to be different from Sri Krishna. This misconception of duality is completely removed from the mind of Bhishmadev, and he is now satisfied that it is Lord Sri Krishna only who is all in all and everything. This enlightenment is attained by the great Mahatmas or devotees, as is stated in Bhagavad Gita 7.19, that Vasudeva is all in all, in everything, and that there is no existence of anything without Vasudeva. Vasudeva, Lord Sri Krishna, is the original Supreme Person, as is now confirmed by a Mahajan, and therefore both the neophytes and the pure devotees must try to follow in his footsteps. That is the way of the devotional line. Right, so as the acharyas see it, that's how we have to try to see. Right? By service, by hearing. Right? This touch Srinu. We just hear, as we saw yesterday in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Just by hearing, we come to that platform of the great personalities. Right? So is that these great souls, like here Bhishmadev, then they're able to see these things. They're realized. So then we're able to, by hearing that and having that kind of appreciation and faith, we're able to appreciate that. So is that when it says, you know, how you say? What's the word? Echad, the Lord is one, right? Then it means that there is a non-difference. There isn't any difference. Difference in the mood. So therefore, he may, you know, there may be the Prakash aspect, or the Vilas aspect, or these other, the Swamsa, you know, Vibhina, all these different aspects, but it's still all him. But he's conscious of everything. Right? Does that make sense? We can't be conscious of something that Krishna's not conscious of. See, we're used to, I'm conscious of something, someone else is conscious of something. The point is, he is consciousness. So even our bit of consciousness that we have, Krishna's conscious of that, because it's him. We just happen to be this particular part of that consciousness.
Right? So. I think in English there is two terms, consciousness and conscience, no?
Yes.
What is the difference?
Consciousness means, I mean, in one sense they're not really different, but a consciousness basically means the awareness of something, and conscience means your value within that awareness. right? Mm-hmm. You know, and conscientious means he's aware of others' awareness.
Yes, yes, yes.
Right? And so he wants to, you know, consider that.
Yes, yes.
Is it? I have attained Lord Krishna, who is standing before me, who is situated in the hearts of all embodied jivas, in his expansion as the localized Antaryami. Some yogis meditate upon the Paramatma, measuring one Pradesh, who is residing in the heart within the body, and who holds the lotus, wheel, conch, and club in his four hands. Pradesh, it's that. So is that the meaning of the Hawaiian... They're all, that when they're greeting each other, then it's all about, what do you call it? The Paramatma? No? When one surfer sees the other and they're talking about the Paramatma? No? No? Okay. Maybe. Yeah, so one Pradesh, from the extended, when you extend your thumb and little finger, then from one, the tip of one to the other, that's a Pradesh.
Yeah.
So that's how big Paramatma is.
Hello?
Yeah, that's awesome, yeah. So, yeah, talking together. So many ways we're referring to the Lord. Yeah. Some yogis meditate upon the Paramatma, measuring one Pradesh, who is residing in the heart within the body, and who holds the lotus wheel, conch, and club in his four hands. Srimad Bhagavatam 2:2-8. I have attained that one unified form, who also appears in distinct forms in each jiva, as mentioned above. That form of the highest bliss spreads himself out. I understand that he appears in these places as the Antaryami, his special form with all beings. Because I am purified by of the illusion of seeing difference in him, by the Lord's mercy, this illusion has been removed, right? So you have the thing that there's a non-difference where you're not accepting the personal. So that's exclusive monism. So that's wrong. It's not complete. Right? But here is that it's the person who is all-pervading, who is omnipotent. Right? Because we try to bring it within our mundane logic. So omnipotency and omnipresence we can appreciate, but we'll take that's non-personal.
Yes.
So he's freed from that illusion of seeing all these features of Krishna separate from him, separate from the person. So it's a matter of it starting from that end, not this end. Because we start from the impersonal, it's an ascending process, right? Because the Brahma Jyoti comes from Krishna. So if we start with the Brahma Jyoti, then we're ascending that way. You know, some sense. Yeah. So the point is that it's a descending process. Not that we're not elevated in this descending process, right? So. I was in illusion, thinking that the Lord was various, different forms, because it seemed impossible that he could spread his one form everywhere. Right? So, we're thinking it's impossible, that's why it can't be. There is a reason for his spreading himself in all beings. The beings are manifested in the supreme shelter, Atmani, the basis. That means he is the basis, they're manifest there, but at the same time, it's he's spread everywhere, and it's through this process, right?
Yeah. You can say it's important to be open, actually, to always see the impossible feature.
Yes, that's the achintya aspect. Achintya beda beda is the achintya. Is that otherwise we'll just take it as the logical part.
Yes, yes.
Yes.
Yes. But it's we can see it's quite difficult to maintain that 24 hours a day.
But that's then what Bhishma Day is pointing out. He's come to that point where that's how he sees.
Yes.
Right? So basically you can say as the pure devotees, then they'll always see Lotus Way. Yes. So it's just a matter of which form of Krishna is their specific affection for. Mm-hmm. Is it Narayan? Yes. It's Dwarka Krishna? Yes. It's Braja Krishna? Like this, or Paramatma, as we see for the Yadus. So that's the element that they're seeing. And then from there, then seeing everything in that context.
This Lord being the basis of everything,
mm-hmm.
that is everywhere pointed out to show that how he's like everything manifests from him, that's how he's everything. It's just he's the basis of everything, rather than we thinking that it is him as such.
Yes, it means basis, meaning because the point is as a person he's separate from it. That's the whole point is he is everything, but he still is a person, is still separate, because it's all coming from him. Right? Because it's coming from him, it's not different from him, but he's still the source of that, so it's not that it's all just the same. Because we'll have that tendency from the impersonal to not make that distinction. So that's always brought out, that we always see it from that personal descending perspective. Yeah? An example is given. To many people situated in different places, the one sun without obstacles appears in its complete form by rising above the trees and bushes. With obstacles present, it appears to be many different forms. The example only illustrates that one form appears in various ways from various points of view. The Lord's form actually shines. By his Achintya Shakti. Right? So that's why Achintya Veda means. The sun, however, appears variously just because its expansive form is situated far away. There's another meaning to this verse. The previously described form, which is sitting in front of me, even appearing in the hearts of the embodied jivas, has come near to me. Though he has the form different from Antayami, I see that form of Krishna now in all beings, since no other form can manifest in front of this powerful form of Krishna. The example is used to show that there is no difference in the form, even if it appears in different places, and is not used to show complete and incomplete forms of the Lord. Because it's the one Lord. And as we said, it's simply because he's interacting with the living entities. Then according to their mood, then that's what makes the difference. So we say Narayan, has 60 qualities. Right? That doesn't mean that all the qualities aren't there. It's just that for that form and that situation, he only manifests 60. Right? There's some reasons, yeah. Bhishma with eyes wide open. Srimad Bhagavatam 1930. Someone's been reading the Bhagavatam, right? Concentrated on Krishna with his words. Mind, words, and eyes. Srimad Bhagavatam 1.9.43. Thus, in the opening and closing sections of this story, the personal form of Krishna is praised. Verse 39 should thus not be explained as impersonal Brahman spreading everywhere, since simultaneously the personal form could be situated as unlimited in individual bodies. As limited in individual bodies and unlimited beyond all bodies. Right, so it's trying to make the point that you should have the understanding of the impersonal realization. That's the whole point. So the impersonal realization is included within the Vaishnava realization. But there's a strong point against it, simply because that's all they accept. Right? It's all one, yes, but it's also Krishna's different. So they're not accepting that point. So that's where the problem comes up. Right? And of the two, then the personal form is the source of all these other features. So the three features of the Lord Bhagavan is the source or the basis of Paramatman Brahman. Right, but others are taking it the other way, so that's the problem. So, yeah. Bahir antascha bahu bhutanam acharam charam eva cha sukshmatvat tad vigeyam avi gyeyam durastanam chantike chatat. He is outside and inside all things. He moves and does not move. He is difficult to understand because of his subtle nature. He is not perceivable, but he can be perceived. Bhagavad Gita 13:16. Though the Lord is all-pervading, the reality of his pastimes, requiring a limited form, is established. Bhishma spoke thus to the Lord. Sarva Sambhadi. The Lord's body is both limited, situated within bodies, and unlimited, situated beyond all bodies. Because he possesses achintya shakti, because all-powerful shaktis such as vibhutis take shelter of him. In this way, the form of Krishna is praised. For this reason, being situated in bodies and being unlimited, the Supreme Lord is described as Dahara. In the city of Brahman, there is a small lotus dwelling. In that place, there is an inner space. Within that space, the Lord is that which should be sought and which should be known, his qualities. Chandogya Upanishad 8:1:1. Yavan va ayam akashas tavan esho antar hridaya akashah. Just as there is space here, there is space in the heart. Taittiriya Upanishad 1:6:1. Comparison is given only to show the greatness of Brahman, not that Brahman is formless like the sky. Just as one can say that the sun moves like an arrow. Right? So he's saying he moves like an arrow doesn't make him an arrow. So just because he's the greatness doesn't mean he's formless. Because he's everywhere doesn't mean he's formless. You know, we just take it, if he's everywhere, he can't have a form. Right? There are other statements as well. Jayan Prithivya Jayan Antarikshat. The Lord is greater than the earth and greater than the sky. Chandogya Upanishad 2:1, 8:1, 2. In both the external world and within the heart, there are heaven and earth. In both, there are fire and air. In both, there are sun, moon, lightning, and stars. Whatever is in the external world and whatever is not in the external world is present in the heart. Chandogya Upanishad 8:1:3. Though the Lord is in the heart, he is also pervading everywhere. This can only happen by the achintya shakti. The space in the pot cannot also be the container of the sun and moon. The problem cannot be solved by saying that Brahman is simply reflected in the lotus of the heart. The all-pervading cannot be reflected completely in a limited upadi. Just as all of the sky cannot be reflected in a pot. The achintya shakti, also called yoga maya, is capable of doing this. Right? So the chit shakti, achintya shakti, yoga maya, they're the same. Right? This is proved in the Brahma Sutras when discussing about the Lord being the size of a pradesha in the section discussing Vaishvarana. Right, so you can't get the whole sky reflected in the plot. So just to say, oh, Brahman's reflected. But then you have to have a substance that you could reflect off of. You can't reflect, that was the point made before. You can't have a reflection unless there's a substance for it to reflect off of. Yeah. You have to have a mirror or some water or, you know, something for it to reflect off. You can't have nothing. So if we're saying the jiva is illusion, how does Brahman reflect off of that? You know, or if we're saying, oh, that's reflecting on illusion, but then the illusion has to have substance for it to be a reflection. sampatter iti jaiminis tata hi darshayati. Jaimini says the Lord can be the size of a Pradesh because he has inconceivable powers, sampati, since this is stated in many texts. Brahma Sutra 1.2.32. Okay, so here you see is Jaimini says something worthwhile, that will quote. Jaimini doesn't say something worthwhile, we'll contest it. It's not that everything he says is proper, right? So only coming in the parampara, then we know that's proper. But otherwise, different things are understood by different individuals, because knowledge is Krishna, so people understand certain things. But then, unless you can discriminate, you can't tell what's real and what's not. Sampatti, or Chintya Shakti, is shown in the Shruti. The person who meditates on the Lord, or Vaishvarana, who is limitless but the size of a Pradesh, the distance between the thumb and forefinger. Oh, this is going a smaller one. Maybe there's different kinds of Pradeshes. Because that's a smaller size. Because then the one used in the yajnas, and that's this one. Because that's half a hand. That's 12 fingers. You know, it's just like you have here. You get 12 up to the elbow. Okay. Like that. You know, and that then there'll be eight. There'll be eight fingers. That means four, four, four. You know, so that's the one used for yajnas and all that. So this must be a different one.
I think I heard that when we say this, it is like this when you stretch it.
Yeah, but it's still it won't be the same.
Okay. Looks like the same.
Well, it depends. I guess it depends on someone's hand.
Almost.
Huh? Almost. Oh. Really?
What's the
same? Yes. I got cheated here. I got ripped off.
I do not.
Okay, so either way you look at it, it's the same. Point is it should be 12 fingers.
Okay. I studied in some hard text of Vedic. Both are the same, both ways you measure.
Okay. You just have to, whichever, if they're both half a hand, then it doesn't matter. Okay. So you'll have to use this one for measurement. So does that mean that those who surf then have the index ring to the thumb is shorter, so that's why then they use the other one? No? Okay. Okay. The person who meditates on the Lord as Vaishvarana, who is limitless but the size of Pradesh, eats food in all worlds, in all elements, and in all hearts. Chandogya Upanishad 5.18.1. By the Achintya Shakti, the Lord is beyond measure, but also limited in size. Though he is the size of a Pradesh, he also encompasses the three worlds. Tasya hava etasat mano vaishvanarasya murdhaiva sutejas chakshur vishva rupaha. Suteja, heaven, is the head of Vaishvanara, and Vishru, sun, is his eye. Chandogya Upanishad 5.18.2. Related to the form of the Lord, Madhva comments on the sutra, Arupavad evahi tat pradhanatvat. The Lord does not, quote-unquote, possess a form, since his form is his very self. Brahma Sutra 3.2.14. So it means the form is him. So when he's just saying you just say his form, he doesn't have a form. The form is him.
Okay. When we say we possess, there is a difference.
Yes, like we possess a body, but Krishna doesn't possess a body. He is the body. You know, so because we're trying to think ourselves as the Lord, therefore we mistake our body as us.
Yes.
Right? So it would be funny somebody to make the argument to Krishna, Krishna, we are not this body.
Yeah. It's not going to work. Right. Yeah. Yeah. Since the Lord is superior, being the stimulus for prakriti and all else, he does not have a form like material objects, because scripture says, Ashtulam Ananu, the Lord is not gross or subtle. Brihadaranyaka Upanishad 3:8. Bhauti kan niha rupani bhute bhyo sau paro yata arupavan ataf prokta ka nakva tad avyaktaf paraha. Oh, avyaktata paraha. Because the Lord is superior to material forms of living entities, he is said to be without form. He is superior to the unmanifest prakriti, Matsya Purana. Right, so because we have forms and we're separate from that, he doesn't have that, so he doesn't have a form. So by saying the Lord has no form doesn't mean that there's no form. Because the point is, he doesn't have a form, he is the form.
Yes.
Does that make sense? Yeah. So it's another way of looking at that particular thing. Not that he doesn't have a material form, he has a spiritual form. He doesn't have a form means we have a form, possessive form. He is the form.
Yes.
That's why grammar is the simplest form of logic.
Yes. So that's why you see in Sanskrit, because the grammar is set, and they use it actually. So, and things are based on that. It's not just on usage. So then you have that point of the grammar itself can explain. Right. So basically, you can say in modern context, much of it is just lakshana. It's not necessarily based on the grammar and all that. It's just how people use it. And because people are using it in a particular way, you know, it takes on, you get the idea. You know, like the child hears it so many times and after a while you know what they mean. You know? So, yeah. Prakasa savach chavai yartya. Brahman with form is not useless, a material object, as in the case of the sun. Brahma Sutra 3:2:15. Madhva commenting on this says, Yada pashya pashyate rukma varnam. The seer sees the Lord of golden color. Mundaka Upanishad 1:3. Siyamach Chabalam Prapadye. Because he is the dark lord, I surrender to his variegated forms. Chandogya Upanishad 8:13:1. Suvarna Jyotihi, the Lord is golden in color. Taittu Upanishad 3:10:6. These shrutis show that the Lord with form is not a useless material form, but different from material forms. Though visible to the eye, he is said to be unmanifest, since the form is different from material objects. Right, so you're saying the material nature is manifest, but he's there before. So it's a matter of us being able to perceive him or not, but it's not that he's manifest as such. So when he say he manifests his form, means he allows us to see the form that's already existing.
Yes.
Not that he wasn't there and now he is. Does that make sense? So that's why you see from the impersonalists, because they have this misunderstanding. They'll think Brahman now takes on a form. Right? And it's because the form is perceived by us with our senses, and the senses therefore can only perceive something material. That form must be material.
Yes.
right? But of course, they give him credit, right? Because they want to be God, right? That he is that illusory aspect, but in knowledge. Well, the condition, the jiva then is the covering of avidya, right? So then they go from the position of the covering of Brahman as avidya and the covering of Brahman as vidya, right? And so that then they call them each other that they're Narayan. But the point is that if we're talking about the Lord, then it shouldn't be anything else, because Brahman's not Narayan according to them. You know, so they should just call each other Brahman. Right? But then there's no name for Brahman, because it's beyond words. So then, according to their philosophy, they should never talk. Then they would do some benefit to the world. Right? Yes.
So all these Avyakta means he is not manifested.
Yes.
Prabhupada says that he has manifested. And
yes, but it manifested means he removes the covering on our eyes.
So, and also Nirguna means there is no qualities. But Prabhupada says that directly meaning that he has perfect quality. But some people mistook that the direct meaning.
Yes.
And they will understand in that way. But actually, Prabhupada is translated in this completely.
Yes. Yes, means we're always used to this, we're just not necessarily aware of the depth of the philosophy. Because we'll say manifest in our own way. It's not there, then it happens. No, it's just a matter of he removes. Like darshan means Krishna allows you to see him. And he sees you. It means he's seeing you, right? And he allows you to see him. Yes. Okay. Though visible to the eye, it is said to be unmanifest, since the form is different from material objects. So you're saying he's unmanifest, because he doesn't manifest, even though the eye can see him. It's just, he's just revealing himself. Aham chatan matram. The scriptures say that the form is directly the Lord, Brahma Sutra 3.2.16. Commenting on this, Madhva says, the distinctive nature of the Lord is described. The Lord is bliss alone, without age and most ancient. The one Lord appears as many. The wise sages who see him within the self become eternally happy. No one else is happy. Chaturveda Shika. He is bliss alone. And the wise who see him within the self, they become eternally happy. So he has many forms. He appears as many, though he's one. Those who see one of these many, though he's one, within their heart, then they become eternally happy.
Yes.
No one else is happy.
Just, what happened to the fools now?
They're not actually happy, they just think they're happy. Yes. Yeah. But that's the... There are those who are happy, and then there's those who think they're happy.
That's the higher understanding.
Yes, the higher understanding. Yes.
I'm okay, you're okay. Only these people are okay, those who see the Lord.
Yes, they're the only ones. We're okay, you're not okay. Because if you were okay, you wouldn't be reading the book, right? No? The book, I'm okay, you're okay? Why would you read the book unless you were not okay?
We need to read that book.
Yes, you have to read the Bhagavatam book. That one. That's the I'm okay, you're okay.
What is this book, Chaturveda Shika?
It's one of the books quoted by Madhvacharya. Problem is because all these books are handwritten, and some, you know, and depending upon, and the only way there's more of them is somebody copies.
Yes.
So, and since they're done on these tall pata,
yes,
you know, the leaves on that, then they can be very happily eaten by termites. you know, or if you don't keep them properly, they get moist and then they'll rot and all these different things. So unless you keep them very well, then how you say? Yeah, and putting them inside a pumpkin doesn't work, you know, but...
The knowledge appears to be lost.
Yes, and so then externally we are not able to perceive it. So many of these books disappear like that. So like that is, Madhvacharya will have seen it, you know, that would be, he was like, 700 or 900 years ago?
900.
But by Lord Chaitanya's time, then some of these things are not around. Because how long does it take for bugs to eat? Termites, if they get into your library, how long does it take for them to be finished? Right? You know, you saw that fence over there. See all that missing on the bottom? They just eat it. You know, it just disappears. So something like that, you know, a few days, a few weeks, it's gone. So this thing is, oh no, where is it, and this and that. You know, it's not like it's...
So that's along the invaders who like to...
Yeah, yeah, they love to burn things. Yeah, somehow or another, that's always the popular thing. So you've done something because you burnt it. You know, I remember once we did a maha cleaning on the school, and it must have been like after the festival or something, you know, or around that time when all the kadamba trees drop all their leaves. You know, so there's millions of leaves, so everybody swept all of them, brought it together in this big pile. And so instead of just taking the pile and throwing it where they normally do, they burnt it. You know, so they felt, yeah, we've done something. What they didn't realize is now they have this big burnt patch on the ground. So that's not exactly ideal. Right? You know, so whatever it is, it's just there's this idea you're really doing something by burning things. You know, like, you know, you made a solid statement by burning Alexandria. You know, it's like, you know, this, you know, it was a real what do you call it? Service to mankind. Yes. So
it's better to burn the false ego. It is better to burn the false ego.
Yes, burn the false ego. Yeah. Somehow or another, that's generally not taken as an option. Like that. There is another sutra, Darshayati Chato Api Smaryate. Shruti shows the Lord in His form are non-different, and Smriti confirms this. Brahma Sutra 3.2.17. Madhva comments on this sutra. Shruti shows the blissful form of the Lord. Tadvijnanena pari pashyanti dhira anandarupam ajaram yad bhibhati. The wise see by knowledge this blissful, ageless form which shines. Mundaka Upanishad 2.2.7. Shuta Spatika Vasudevam Niranjana Chintayita Yatir Nanyam Yana Rupad Rite Hare. The devotee meditates on the pure form of Vasudeva, clear like a crystal. There is nothing beyond the Lord who is the form of knowledge. Matsya Purana. Anandam Brahmano Rupam. The form of Brahman is bliss. Right? So the form is knowledge, the form is bliss. Right? The form is consciousness. Right? So like that. So because he's Sat, he's Chit, he's Ananda. Taittiriya Upanishad 2.4.1. This shows distinctions in the Lord, right? So there's distinctions. That he's Sat, he's Chit, he's Ananda. So there's distinction. Because of these three distinctions, everything else has that distinction. That's why he's the Lord of threes. Sad deha sukha gandhas cha jnana bha sat parakrama jnana jnana sukha sukha sa vishnu paramakshara. All attractive Vishnu, who has a spiritual body, is perfumed with bliss, is effulgent with knowledge, and complete in strength. He is the essence of knowledge and the essence of happiness. there's the following sutra. Antas tad dharmo padeshat. Paramatma is the person in the eye and the sun, because the teachings describe the Lord's qualities. Brahma Sutra 1.1.20. Ramanujacharya Kantmanis, 40.39. The Supreme Brahman, different from all else by his sarup of infinite bliss and knowledge, devoid of all faults, has his very nature unlimited auspicious qualities. He has a spiritual form by nature, which is an ocean of unlimited, astonishing, inconceivable, eternal, spotless qualities, like youthfulness, charm, beauty, tenderness, fragrance, and brilliance, manifested according to his desire. Right? He has all this, and then which one he wants to show, but it doesn't mean that he's creating it at that time. It's already him. Right? Out of his mercy to the devotee, Narayana, the Supreme Person, the Supreme Brahman, free of material faults and sin, and an ocean of unlimited compassion, affection, good character, and mercy, reveals the appropriate form to the devotee according to his surrender. The Lord is the one cause of the whole universe. Yato va imani bhutani jayante. From him all beings arise. Chaitanya Upanishad 3.1. Have we adjusted this? We're putting the period on the other side?
Yes, on the next one.
It is, okay. Yeah, but also in this one adjusted, so in future. Yeah. Sad eva somyedam agra asid. Only the Lord existed previously. Chandogya Upanishad 6.2.1. Atma va idam eka agras, eva agra asid. The Lord alone existed in the beginning. Aitreya Upanishad 1.1.1. Eko hi vai narayana asid, na brahma ne shanaha. Vishnu alone existed, not Brahma or Shiva. Mahanarayana Upanishad 1.1. His sarup has qualities. Satyam jnanam anantam brahma. The Lord is eternity and unlimited knowledge. Taittiriya Upanishad, Taittiriya Aranyaka 1. Vijnanam anandam brahma. The Lord is knowledge and bliss. Brihad Aranyaka Upanishad 5.9.18. He is devoid of material faults and has all auspicious qualities. He is nirgunam, without material qualities, without material gunas. Atma Upanishad. He is niranjanam, pure, Svetasvatara Upanishad. Apa hata pa ma. Vi jaro vim mrityur vishoko. Vij gamso. Pipasa satya kama satya sankalpaha. One should know that the Lord is without sin, without old age, without death, without lamentation, without hunger, without thirst, whose very desire is truth and whose every desire is fulfilled. Chandogya Upanishad 8.15. He has no body and no senses. No one is equal to him or higher. His supreme power is manifold. His actions are naturally revealed with knowledge and strength. Svetasvatara Upanishad 6.8. He is the great supreme master of all controllers. He is the supreme Lord to be worshipped. He is the first cause and the Lord of the senses. He has no creator or master. Svetasvatara Upanishad 6.7. Sarvani Rupani Vichintya Dhiro. Namani kritva bhi vadhat yadaste vedaham etad purusham mahantam aditya varnam tamasah parastat. I know the Lord shining beyond darkness, who exists, who made all forms, and having named them, uttered those names. Yajurveda 3.2. Sarve nimesha jagire vidyuta purushad adhi. All the devas were born from the shining Lord, Mahanarayana Upanishad. Such statements show that the Lord has an auspicious form, because he is endowed with auspicious qualities, while at the same time denying that the Lord has material qualities, relationship with the material body, or relationship with material karmas. As his mercy towards the devotee, of the all-merciful Lord, by his will, reveals his natural form as human or devata, corresponding to the devotion of that person. Right? So human will be the two-armed form, devata will be the four-armed. So Vaikuntha is devata. Right? Like that. And we even see in Dwarka and Mathura, he'll have times when he manifests the four arms as devata. But we see in Braj, and it's human. Like that, yeah. Ajayamano Bahuda Vijayate. Though not born, the Lord appears in many forms. Yajurveda 31:19. Smriti says, Ajopi san avyayatma bhutanam ishvaropi san. Though unborn, imperishable, and the Lord of all beings, I appear by my will. Bhagavad Gita 4:6. Paritaranaya sadhuna. I appear in order to protect the devotees. Bhagavad Gita 4:8. Sadhunam means the worshippers of the Lord. Protecting the devotee is the Lord's main goal, and destroying demons is secondary. He appears by his will, situated in his own nature. Prakritim swam adishtaya, not according to the nature of samsara, karma. Atma mayaya means by my knowledge, by my will. Maya means knowledge according to nigantu. Right, so here is that maya means he has knowledge. So for like jiva maya covers the knowledge of the jiva, his actual. He may gain material knowledge. So you're studying material knowledge, you're gaining knowledge, but in that process you're being covered by the illusory energy, right? Because that's why it points out that the aspect of the scholars can't understand the Lord. Because they have an idea that through intelligence, through logic, they can understand everything. Mm-hmm. But the Lord, being the source of knowledge, being the source of everything, he can't be known simply by a logic that's given by him. He has to reveal himself. Right? So that's the difficulty. That's why you see they're singled out in this way. You know, those who are into the rituals, those who are into the knowledge, those who are into morality, those who are the religionists, for, you know, any of these, they can't know the Lord through those processes. So the Lord will reveal himself. When those processes are used in devotion, he reveals himself. Yes?
It's actually contradictory, the very idea that you have God and can understand him through your logic. These things, they cannot...
Yes, you're talking about the unlimited, how do you... But still, they try because of the false ego. You know, but as Prabhu mentioned, you know, it's to try burning the false egos. But that's not a popular one. Yes.
Hmm. Acknowledge the living entity is accustomed to think like that since time immemorial.
Yes, I've been thinking like that. Because it's not a problem. See, it's that in the spiritual platform, the soul and the body are non-different.
Yes.
Right? But, so we're accustomed to thinking like that, because that's the natural way of thinking. So then, here, having a body that's different from us is not natural. So we'll naturally think we're the body. You know, that's the difficulty. Parashara says, O King, all these Shaktis are situated in the Lord. The form of the Lord is distinct from the universal form. O Lord of men, as his pastime, he manifests many forms endowed with all Shaktis. The Shaktis become devatas, animals, and humans, and perform all actions in order to help the universe. These Shaktis do not arise by karma. Vishnu Purana 6:9-90. The Mahabharata also states the form of the avatar is not material. Nabhuta sangha samstano dehosya paramatmanaha. The body of the Lord is not made of a combination of material elements. Since this body is not material, it is his intrinsic quality. Shri Bhasya 1120. Right, so this is all
Raman the chariot.
Oh, and that is still in the first pada. 1120.
Yes.
It's his commentary on. Which one was 1120? It was quoted.
The previous page. The ending of the previous page.
Oh, here it is. Antastad dharmaupade shat. Paramatma is the person in the eye and the sun, because the teachings describe the Lord's qualities. So all that was Ramanujacharya's comments on that, his comments on that sutra. This sarup endowed with limbs, which are included intrinsically in a sarup, has qualities intrinsic to his sarup, distinct from the universal form, must be the dharmi, source of the qualities. This sarup is his body, which is the source of the limbs. Accepting this fact, and because of his power of man, because of his power of
two.
Of two?
Two.
Accepting this fact, and because of his power to manifest all shaktis, his form must be accepted as real and accepted as perfect. These shaktis have natural power governed by the Lord's will. They are the Lord's very form. His actions are manifest through his shaktis. Those actions are not produced, just manifested. Right? So that's the whole point, because generally when we say he expanded, we think then it's produced. Because the material world, it means it's produced. But with him it's not. It's just, it's manifest means it's revealed. Means you can see that. Because otherwise, it is him everywhere anyway. So therefore, being him everywhere, then wherever he wants to show himself, what's the problem? That's why in the deity, it's not a problem. But if we're thinking that, you know, it's something separate, is manifest, in the way of that produced, then that's where, then you get into, then it's speculative. That's the idea of the idol worship. Idol worship is then you're creating something so you can see. So we see is that those who have a tendency towards the impersonal, then they either use or avoid idol worship because they can't appreciate that the Lord, his original form, it means he is everything, and he's spread everywhere and everything's in him. So therefore, all of it being him, he can manifest himself as he likes, wherever he likes. Right. So with that understanding, beyond that actual personal understanding, then you don't have idol worship. Right? You have the recommendation of the deity worship that is the proper for the form of the Lord with the particular qualities that is dear to the worshiper.
Yes.
Right? So it has to be given by scriptures. It has to be explained. Yes.
Yeah. In Maharaj, when we say that or installation of deity, the devotee that thinks it's not to come.
He's already there. He's not different from his form. It's just a matter of permanent worship or temporary worship. Right? So when you have a deity installation as such, it means that there'll be permanent worship. You know, on a regular basis. You know, the six artiks and everything like this. So that's what you're doing, but the form's not different from him. It's just that manifesting that mood so that you can appreciate. Otherwise, we'll take it as stone or metal or wood with those qualities. But they are Krishna's energy, and so therefore, being him, he can manifest as he likes. Does that make sense? So that's the idea. So the temporary worship means it's still Krishna.
Yes.
So this idea is that, oh, they're uninstalled, so I can do whatever I want, but it's still Krishna.
Yes.
The one is there's a they respect that you're always going to deal in a particular way. The other one is that, you know, you're going to have whatever you're doing the worship, then it'll be proper.
Yes.
This idea is that, you know, Does that make sense? It'd be like this. Let us say you have a car, right? So because it's your car, then you follow the rules, you deal properly, you know, you maintain it and everything. But now let's say if it's not your car, does that mean now you do whatever you want? Or you still have to take care of it if you want it to run properly? So these are just misnomers of independence. These are ideas of just it's self-centered that I can do what I like. If it's deity's installed, I have to do what Krishna likes. But if it's not installed, I can do what I like. Yeah. Yeah. Does that make sense? Yeah.
So the installation then is just a request for the Lord to establish personal relationship.
Yes. Yeah, that he'll stay. You know. That he'll show himself, reveal himself, he'll stay there for the worship.
Because usually it's accepted as something very technical, like almost mechanical. Like,
yeah, well, that's the whole point, is that you also have all those things, because then for the common person, they become convinced that stone has become God. You know, that's why for Prabhupada, because it's not there, you just have the Abhishek and Hari Bol. Have the Abhishek and then a big offering and Artik, you know, kirtan, and we're done. So Prabhupada would just say, you know, just the kirtan is enough. But that's not we're avoiding the rules. It's a matter of, you know, just the proper understanding. Because if you don't have the proper understanding, it's still Krishna, and you still get the benefit of worship. But it's not that you specifically gain something by not following the rules. Right, because if only by chanting, then you should be regularly chanting, because that's the worship. You know, but if it's only by chanting, we'll only chant then, and other times we won't, then how is that then an installation? So, these Shaktis have natural power governed by the Lord's will. They are the Lord's very form. His actions are manifested through his Shaktis. These actions are not produced, just manifested. Thus it is said, Mano maya prana shariro bha rupa satya kama satya sankalpa akashatma sarva karma sarva kama sarva gandha sarva rasaha sarvam idam Vyato Vya Kyandha Daraha. Brahman is understood by the mind. He is the controller of prana. He is effulgent, and his every desire is fulfilled. He is all-pervading, performs attractive pastimes, and is endowed with all enjoyment, all fragrance, and all rasa. He encompasses everything. He is silent. He is without worries. Chandogya Upanishad 3.1.42. So does that mean the Aussies also are referring to a spiritual aphorism here? You know, it's like somebody's disturbed and you say, no worries. You know, so it means because, you know, you absorb yourself in the Lord. The Lord has no worries, so if you absorb yourself in the Lord, then there's no worries.
Right?
Sutra. Sutra. Yeah, it's a sutra. Right. And they're seeing everyone as equal, therefore they say, might.
Yeah.
No worries, Mike. This is explained as follows. Are we going to get through that? I don't think we are. Okay, so we'll stop here. Yeah. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki.
Jai
Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki.
Jai
Nitai Gaura Premiya.
Really?